In relation to woodland management, etc., the new forestry plan approved by the EU has not addressed significant environmental issues with Irish forests. And here to tell us a little bit more about concerns, I have Andrew St. Ledger, who's the Public Relations Officer and Education Officer at the Woodland League. And I also believe you're involved in quite a lot of other things, Andrew, as well. You're very welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Good, thanks. Yeah, I'm also involved with the Centre for Environmental Living and Training, and it was in connection to their involvement in the environmental pillar that the press release that you received was issued.
Yes, the environmental pillar. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, it's an umbrella group of 28 national environment organisations, which was formed as part of, an addition to the social partnership set up, which was established, I think, in the 1990s. And basically what was missing for a long time was an environmental angle or an environmental pillar. So it's basically represents environmental interests in Ireland, and it has access to government, ministers. Well, we get to have meetings with ministers to lobby to try and influence government policy in regard to environmental issues. So that's kind of what we do. We make submissions and make comments, and that's where the press release was coming from.
Yeah, and in relation to the environment, I mean, do you really feel there is a need for that with government bodies? That there's somebody needs
to be? Well, there is, because the environment has been the poor relation in governance over, you know, many years. The environmental law has only really come into play in Ireland since we joined the European Union.
Yeah, I was going to say it's driven a lot.
Prior to that, we had no environmental laws, really. You know. So the 1970s, I think the Wildlife Act was one of the first environmental laws, and that came about through our joining of the European Union. I suppose over the years since independence, the main priority of government was economic survival, really, and the environment kind of fell down by the wayside. But the realization with modern thinking in recent times is that our environment is an essential part of our economy. You know, ecology and economy are related, and eco and economy and ecology come from the Greek word oikos, which I think is house. So economy is kind of good housekeeping in regard to budgetary aspects.
Yes,
and you could say ecology is the good housekeeping from the point of view of
the environment.
Your environment and health, so the health of your systems that feed into your economy, your ecosystems, are very important in regard to maintaining wealth. And it also links, your health is your wealth. So our ecological and environmental integrity is a vital aspect of our society. And that's something that the environmental pillar and environment groups are trying to get across, you know.
I have to say, you know, that's such a good analogy, the whole idea of the eco in terms of economy and ecology. I like that one. I'll remember that one myself, Andrew.
Ecology is a new science, in a way, only since, 30s, 40s, 1950s, where they started to examine ecosystems in terms of the linkage, how everything, you know, in nature, there are links. So if we damage one aspect of one part of a system, it has an effect on all of the rest. It's like a different way of thinking, a more holistic way of looking at our environment. And from that study, that science of ecology, has come about the idea that we need to protect our environment, you know, and that's where environmental legislation is coming from.
And why do you think governments don't see how crucial that is?
Well, they're coming from a background that's, as I say, overly dominated by economic interests. And economic interests for too long have been following, you could say, an outdated model of development. It's an old model of development, and that model of development comes from the idea of taking resources, natural resources, and seeing them as free and utilizing those to make profit. And the problems with that old style of development has basically led to the degrading of our ecosystems and our environment, because, again, we've come to realize that if we continue that style of development without paying heed to the ecological services supplied by nature, well, those systems and services are finite. They're not infinite. They actually will deplete. So we've been looking at the depletion of our natural resources on a global scale, which has led to major environmental problems. And it's possibly, you know, is linking into climate change issues and problems with water in the third world, you know, the availability of clean water, which
That's
is
right.
essential for food. And that links back to the forests. We've been degrading our forests. Just take, you know, seeing trees as firewood or as money, putting just a pure monetary value on trees, commercial interests over and above all else. The problem that's caused is, again, the destruction of the world's natural forests. And this basically, there's a simple analogy or a simple quotation. No forests means no water, because there's a link between the forests and the water table. The forests actually manage our water systems. This is natural forests.
Hmm.
And if we've no water, we have no wheat, so we've no bread. So no forests, no water, no water, no bread, no bread, no life.
And actually, sorry to interrupt you, but the Lenten campaign this year are focusing on drought-stricken families in Africa, and they are directly linked with the global warming, etc. In the context that the poorest people seem to suffer most severely from the activities of the Western world. Going back to your own point, go ahead. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Well. Again, But the third world is suffering from this old model of development. It's a colonial model. It's a model that sees other people's resources for taking, you know, and also, as I say, their forests. And in many cases, places in the world where you have desert, there was once forest. Now, in some cases, it's a few thousand years ago, but it's like North Africa would have been heavily forested. The Middle East was heavily forested. The Lebanon. All around there, the great forests of Lebanon are recorded. But the different empires that were built up over there, you know, from Babylon to Egypt through to the Greek and Roman empires, they basically stripped the forests that were within reach all around them and depleted those resources. And when you remove the forest, you remove the cover, you remove the protection for your soil. That's what forests do. They act like a skin on the earth. And that in turn leads to erosion, because there's nothing to hold, no roots to hold the soil together. And in places like the Middle East, North Africa, where you have a lot of severe heat situation,
That's right.
It leads to like very cold at night, but extremely hot during the day. Those conditions combined make the breakup of soil come very easily to expose to wind.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When rain comes, the nutrients are washed away. So you can see a direct link between deforestation and, you know, poverty and also life itself, hunger,
yeah.
as I say, complete famine.
And indeed, Ireland was once covered by oak.
It was.
Mm, that was our indigenous species, wasn't it?
Well, there was a mixture of native species that had come here after the last ice age. When the ice melted, a certain number of species made it here over a land bridge. We don't have as many species of tree as Europe because we became an island, we became isolated. So not as many tree species made it over, or, you know, for that matter, animal species too. But our you could say, climax tree cover was oak. And we would have about 20 main species of native tree.
Yeah.
And in different parts of Ireland, you would have had different combinations of those native trees. All of those native trees carry with them a kind of bag, you could say, of insects, birds, and animals that are related to that tree, you know, because of those trees
adapted
here.
Indigenous.
And they interact with a range of insects and animals and birds, etc. The oak tree, 288 different insects are connected with the oak.
And, you know, from the point, I was just going to say, from the point of view of the environmental pillar group, what would be the goals in relation to maybe woodland,
for instance? Well, each of the pillars made up of individual groups. you know, and the different groups have different objectives, all connected with the environment in general. So,
so it's
the
a
pillar itself is acting as a facilitation body.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It coordinates.
Yeah.
And those groups work together. We have different working groups. So I'd be the convener of a tree cover forestry working group, and we would prepare submissions on forestry and tree cover related issues, and we would make press releases, etc. So that press release, as I say, came through the work of the working group,
yep.
The tree cover working group.
Mm.
And basically our concerns that we're highlighting are that the new forestry program that has been approved is a continuation of the old one, which is a very commercial, industrial type of forestry model that we would feel is over-dependent on machinery. It's over-dependent on non-native species. Sitka spruce make up 75% of the trees that are of the tree forest cover in Ireland. And we feel there's not enough emphasis on our native woodlands or on transforming the industrial forestry model towards a more community-oriented model that would have community benefits. So we would like to see a shift. Like, in fairness, there are some measures and extra funding towards native woodlands in the program, but we would feel that the percentage in relation to the overall objectives of commercial forestry, that they're not balanced out at all.
Yeah, it's disappointing, actually. Any good news for us?
Well, it's disappointing, exactly.
Hmm? Any good news for us, just in relation to awareness and everything that's out there? I think people
well,
are becoming much more
aware. Well, it's National Tree Week next week from
Very
Sunday,
good.
And the good news is, I suppose that environment groups like Celts, like the Woodland League, like the different woodland NGOs, Native Woodland Trust, basically will be promoting our native trees during National Tree Week with schools and local communities.
Fantastic.
And that
Fantastic.
The work of people, individuals, you know, promoting our native woodland resource around the country is happening within our school system. And that's where, you know, it's through awareness and education that ultimately we would like to see our native forests restored and recovered.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that's the start, educate the young people. Finally, Andrew, can you tell us, if anybody wants to find out more, is there any websites or anything you'd recommend they go to, just briefly?
Well, there's the keltmess.org website, and we would all be having events for promoting traditional skills to do with ecological living.
Fantastic.
And there's one coming up in I think it's in May in Galway.
So
if you go to that site.
Okay.
The environmental pillar site as well would have the different the work of the different groups of the pillar. And you mentioned the Woodland League, woodlandleague.org.
Yes.
Is a site which is dedicated to the native woodlands issue.
Well, look, thank you.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much for your time. I found the chat very informative, and can I say very persuasive for your own arguments as well, and good analogies, because I think everything is moving towards balance and holistic approaches, except unfortunately governments, and I guess their focus tends to be economics. But I did like the analogy with economics and ecology. I back you up 100% on that. Look, at you have a good day and keep
Thank
up the
very
great
much.
Work.
Thank you.
A pleasure talking to you. All the best.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That was Andrew St. Ledger, and very passionate about the subject matter we were talking about, which I think came through because, you know, great awareness created there of just everything has its role in nature and in life, and we all fit somewhere, don't we?